Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and Father, you are good, and you desire for us to listen to your word with the ears of faith. So please give us such. Open our ears to hear what you would say to us. Grant our hearts, O Lord, to be desirous of your holy word, that our hearts might be changed and conformed to Jesus by it. Grant us, O Lord, help as we consider this verse before us this evening, as we contemplate your gracious provision of all things necessary for life and godliness. Sustain us, your people, as we look to your word for heavenly food. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. When I was little, the first prayer I ever learned to pray was a very simple mealtime prayer, and I bet it's probably one that you know from heart as well. It's, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. By his hands we are fed, give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. And that might seem like a little, you know, precious sort of children's prayer until you realize it's pretty much a paraphrase or an abbreviation of Psalm 145, a psalm that says things like, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in verse 3 or verse 9. The Lord is good to all. His mercy is over all that he has made. Or later on, verse 15, the eyes of all look to you and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Indeed, our God is great. Our God is good. And he does give us our daily bread. That's a major emphasis you find throughout many of the Psalms. A lot of the Psalms will recount the Lord's mercy and favor, say Psalm 136. It recounts God's mercy and favor to his people based on creation and then on redemption. And then at the end, it has this sort of turnaround where it says that he gives food to us. Food is a major part of our Lord's gift to us and the way that he sustains us, even physically in this world. He's the giver of all that we need for life in this world and all that we need for the next. He gives us everything necessary for life and for godliness. Of his abundance, he supplies us with riches according to the glory that is his in Jesus Christ, so that we have no need to grumble or to complain or to take matters into our own hands, so to speak, in a way of defying his provision. We can look to him and know that indeed the Lord gives us our daily bread. That's what we learn from this petition. In each of these petitions we've been looking at, we see that there is a world of theology packed into them. So even just to say our Father implies that we're standing in Jesus Christ, praying in the Holy Spirit. To say hallowed be your name means that we recognize he is holy and set apart and different and powerful, and he is to be known and seen as such by ourselves and the world. To pray your kingdom come recognizes that he is King of Kings, that he rules over all things according to his perfect plan. And then to pray his will be done is to pray that that perfect plan succeed and be put into motion, and that people would revere him and worship him, and that we ourselves above all would do so. So we get to verse 11 in this prayer. We see things switch a bit. They come down from the heights of God's glory to our own selves and our daily life. Not as if our daily lives are to be considered apart from God's glory. Not at all. We'll see that this evening. But now we have the first sort of personal petition in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. The very fact that Jesus teaches us to pray this proclaims to us that our Lord, our Father himself, is the giver of daily bread. And that's the central point we're looking at tonight. It's really, really simple. The Lord gives us our daily bread. And to understand all that's packed into this small petition, I want us to consider that sentence. The Lord gives us our daily bread, and focus on each word, going from the last word to the first. So we'll begin by considering that the Lord gives us our daily bread. And that'll be our first point. So what does it mean to say this? What does it mean to pray, give us this day our daily bread? What does bread mean? Well, of course it means what you will sit down and enjoy on your plate this evening if you've not had supper already. It means what you will gather up in the morning and put before you and your family for breakfast. It's meaning that, yes, the food you receive is a gift from God. It's what you need, and he's the one who supplies it. But bread here stands in, as Calvin said, for all things in general that our bodies have need of for life in this world. So this is a very broad word here, specifically as bread. But it then stands for anything that you're sustained by. Sleep, clothes, shelter, gas in your car, a car that works. We have here something that refers to medicine. Some of you are sustained by certain medications that you have to take. And here is a prayer that the Lord would continue to provide it as you need it. Jesus will go on, I think, to build on this petition at the latter part of this chapter, in chapter 6, verses 25 and following, when he'll tell his disciples and all those who hear this Sermon on the Mount that he's preaching, that they should not be anxious about, excuse me, about our life, about what we will eat or drink, or about our body, what you will put on. That is not about food or clothing, because Jesus goes on to say that your Heavenly Father provides you all these things. So you shouldn't worry. To pray this petition is to combat the sin of worry, because it recognizes that all you have, even your bread and whatever that stands for, the Lord is the one who reveals it and who gives it to you. The Lord gives you your daily sustenance for life, whatever form it takes. The second thing we see here is that the Lord gives us our daily bread. You know, Jesus doesn't just say, pray to the Lord and say, Lord, give us our bread, but give us our bread for today. All that we need just to sustain us one more day. Perhaps that's why at the end of the chapter he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So see that you're taking care of this day. Ask the Lord for the things necessary for this one moment and rest in his provision. I think he says, give us our daily bread in order to teach us dependence. That we would be met every morning with the truth that his mercies are fresh. They're renewed every day. Every day we wake up wholly and completely dependent on him. I'm reminded of the only prayer you can find in the book of Proverbs. It's in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 and 9. I've quoted these a number of times before. There, we read from the words of Agor, son of Jakeh. He says, two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Number one, remove far from me falsehood and lying. And then number two, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and I still and profane the name of my God. That's essentially what it means to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's expressing our dependence upon him. It's a way of guarding ourselves against gluttony and the tendency to desire more than we need and to find our peace and security in abundance. You know, you go to the store and you're looking just for like one bag of popcorn. That's all you need. But there's a sale. And you can buy like six boxes for half the price. And so immediately you think, well, this is certainly better. And we're programmed, we think, just by marketing and advertisement, we think that to have more in abundance is better. But Jesus is teaching us dependence. He's wanting us to give ourselves over to God's care and to entrust ourselves to his providence, Calvin says. That's the point of praying this. It helps us to wage warfare against the sinful greed and lust for abundance that we have. The Lord gives to us our daily bread. And no doubt this goes back to the Old Covenant, what we just read in Exodus 16, as the Lord provided for his people in the wilderness as a means of further convincing them. It's a shame they needed to be further convinced of his care for them. They just walked through the Red Sea safely. The whole battalion of Pharaoh's army following after them was swallowed in the sea. The Lord is presently at that very moment leading them by day with a pillar of smoke and at night with a pillar of fire. It's like he is there protecting them, and yet they grumble and say, would that we died in Egypt, where there's meat and where we're filled with all the bread we need. The Lord then provides graciously to them bread from heaven, but only bread that would sustain them for one day, unless it was Friday, and they'd be sustained for 2 days. So on the Sabbath, Saturday, they would have what they need. They wouldn't have to go out and work. And so here, we see the Lord teaching his people in Israel, in the wilderness wanderings, to rely upon him. And that lesson continues for you and for me as we pray this. Lord, provide exactly what I need for this day. The Lord gives us our daily bread. Well, the Lord also, this is the third point we see here, gives us our daily bread. As I've gone through the Lord's Prayer, I've focused on the plural nature of it. And that's not just something that, you know, Jesus is teaching multiple people, so he says it in the plural. No, there's an intentionality here. Prayer is to be, yes, personal between you and God, but also corporate. You know, we pray not just by ourselves, even when we are by ourselves. Our prayers should not be just only for ourselves. And I think they're naturally not. As you love others and the people you love the most, you will instinctively pray for them. It's a part of, an aspect of loving your neighbor and loving others as yourself, is to lift them before God's throne of grace together. So don't be rampantly individualistic in your prayers. This is a further way that the Lord wants us to bear one another's burdens. It's a way that we can contribute to the lives and well-being of each other, is to pray, Lord, for the sake of my fellow brother or sister in Christ, give them their daily bread, what they need to be sustained. Let them have it, and then let them rest in their dependence upon you and your gracious provision. The Lord gives us our daily bread. And then, another fourth point here, the Lord gives us our daily bread. All that we receive is what? It's a gift. It's not something that we have earned. Even the food that we'll set before us tonight for dinner is a gift from God. How? Well, mainly is through his work of providence. Remember, God works out his decrees. We read in the Shorter Catechism, he works out his decrees through creation and this making the world in the space of 6 days, and all very good. And then in providence. Providence is his work whereby he sustains and governs all his creatures and all their actions. He provides for us this very moment through his providence, through his gracious providence, so that even if we labor hard and long for the food that we paid for, that we cooked, and that we put on our table, or for the clothes that we picked out and we styled and we placed on our bodies, still it remains a gift from the gracious hand of God. It's a gift to us because, well, first of all, we don't deserve it. Right? As those who were made in the image of God but yet rebelled against him and sinned against him daily, what do we deserve? Do we deserve to be kept by his gracious providence? No, we don't. We deserve much worse, but he is gracious. That's why all of this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and even the bread we set on our table to us or before us is an example or a way to remember the work of Jesus Christ, because all that we have is a testimony to his faithfulness to us. And we, out of all people in this world, can recognize that. You know, even those who aren't believers can say thank you to the Lord or to whatever God they think of when they have bread on their plate. They can recognize that. They can recognize that they're dependent in some aspect. But we as Christians, we know the one to whom we're thankful. And we know why we're blessed rather than cursed, because of Jesus Christ. So look at the ordinary things in life that you have: the medicine, the food, the clothes, the car ride home, the safety, the sleep, as another testimony to the Lord's faithfulness to you in Jesus Christ. I'm so struck by listening to a number of podcasts and interviews with atheists, and I'm so struck when they'll say things like, if the Lord exists, why would he create a world that's completely devoid of evidence of his existence? Or why would he make the world in such a way that it looks like he doesn't exist? How backwards of a thought is that? When everything screams his existence to us, screams his love towards us, screams his providence, his eternal power and divine nature, Romans 1 says. So that it takes a a marvelous, in a bad way, act of our own will to suppress that revelation that is constantly bombarding our senses. So we as Christians ought to recognize that above all, we don't deserve what we have, but the Lord is gracious through Jesus Christ to provide it to us. It's a gift to us also because the skill or the industry or the ability or the strength or the knowledge or the money that led us to be sustained by our bread or clothing or house or whatever, all of these things are given to us by God. He supplied us with the energy to go out and to work and to earn a wage and then to pay for our food. And he's the one who makes our bread effective in our body so that when we eat it, it actually nourishes our cells and it gives us energy. This is part of the Lord's providential working and care over us. So all we have is a gift from God. It's a gift as well because God works through his providence. He sustains the world that he made. Think of bread. We pray for bread. Think of all that's involved to get a loaf of bread to your kitchen. A seed had to be planted in a field that's already been plowed by a farmer. God has to send rain, and the sunlight has to nourish the plant as it grows. And then the farmer goes forth, and he harvests the seed. The wheat perhaps goes to a plant where it's processed. And a lot of men and women put their labor into separating it out and to then baking it together to bring forth a loaf where it's sliced, it's put in a bag, it's shipped by a tractor trailer, someone driving the tractor trailer, someone who put gas in it, to a grocery store where a stock boy put it on a shelf where you went and brought your money out of your wallet and paid for it and brought it home and put it on your table. And now how did all that happen? Well, the Lord raised up and gifted and called men and women all along that chain to do that, all that you might have bread. As a gift to you and as a gift to them. Because how do they meet their daily bread and have what they need for life and sustenance? How does the truck driver who's delivering the bread sustain his family through the money you pay for the bread? You see how this is, it's so robust in how the Lord cares for us and how we're even then to mirror his care for us by caring for others. Even when it comes to purchasing bread, we sustain those all along that chain. You can actually take any number of items that you've received and think of how that plays itself out. How what you have is all related to God's providential gifting of other people and their vocations and callings and his gifting of you, and then how that all works together to give you what you need. Everything you have is a gift from God. The Lord gives us our daily bread. And finally, the Lord gives us our daily bread. I said when I began that this part of the Lord's Prayer kind of descends from discussing God's glory now down to our own individual selves. Well, that's only true in part. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, we should do it all unto the glory of God, so that when we eat, we recognize indeed that God is good. And we recognize that God is great. And we're to be a thankful people for those truths. Let us thank him for our food, that we might glorify him for his gifts to us through Jesus Christ. And that we might always recognize our dependence on him for everything, for our daily bread. Amen. Let's pray.